it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks Podcast on KMBZ.
So if you were watching Sunday Night Football last night, the Buffalo Bills win over the Baltimore Ravens can be credited to a youth football coach.
Yes!
Matt Prater is normally an assistant coach for kids between the ages of 9 and 11. He was preparing for his team's opening season game by writing practice scripts for the kids when he got an unexpected call. The Buffalo Bills had placed their kicker, Tyler Bass, on the injured reserve due to a pelvic injury. I wish I knew that because he's my kicker on my fantasy team, and I did not replace him last night. So the team was in desperate need of a replacement, and they called in Prater, making him the oldest player to take the field in Bills history. He is 41. Simmer down. It's not like he doesn't have NFL experience. He played for 19 seasons. Starting in 2007, he even got selected to two Pro Bowls.
I do love this story. I do. But it was really funny when Dana was talking about it to me.
I was like, did you hear about this guy?
And Rob goes, well, I mean, we should probably also point out the fact that he had 19 seasons in the NFL. But, you know, facts are facts, I guess.
Well, the first story that I read about it was only highlighting the fact that he was like at his high school place coaching and got some call like come kick. He got the game ball last night, by the way.
Only 14 other players have scored more points than him in NFL history.
Wow.
He is 15th on the list.
So yeah, it's a super cool Cinderella story until you're like, oh, wait a minute. He was actually a kicker.
Well, that's all right. I still love it. It shows you never give up on your dream. You can go back and do other things and make a contribution in other fields and then come back. All right. Is Dan still in there?
Yes.
The more and more I read about this story that you had in your newsroom, the more I am so ticked off right now, Dan.
Yeah.
We're going back to Leavenworth and we're going to talk about this.
All right.
So I only a third of listen to whatever you say, usually most of the time.
I know.
But this time it was more like a fourth. And then I looked at Scott and I said, did he say what I thought he just said? How old is this perv that is going away?
So
No.
He's pleaded.
He's convicted. Okay, all right.
His name is Jerome Riscovalles. He is 55 years old. He was a teacher at the Henry Leavenworth Elementary School in
Leavenworth.
Leavenworth School District. And back in February, he was arrested and then fired by the district. And through the investigation, they found that he had sexually abused six children, all ages 8, 9, and 10, in his classroom. And the Leavenworth County attorney spelled out some of the things that, he would do to encourage and soothe the children by giving them Pokemon cards.
He was grooming them. So this is where I'm going to go on a Dana tangent. He is 55 years old, and you want me to believe his entire teaching career was only in Leavenworth. That's number one. Where else was he prior? Because remember that name. It is sort of an unusual name, Riscovalles. I find it very hard to believe that he just woke up one day and started abusing children at age 55 in Leavenworth. So they need to be looking at where was he prior.
Before, yeah.
That's my point there.
All right.
And then number two, according to one of the Channel 41 stories, there are three Leavenworth School District employees who did face charges for failing to report what was going on as mandatory reporters because they knew as far back as Dan 2023.
Yeah, October of 2023. And the three school district employees, two assistant principals, and the head of district HR.
Why? And this is, I always go back to this when this stuff all comes tumbling out. Is it so impossible to hire a teacher that you are aware these things are going on and you go, yeah, we're just going to roll the dice on this one? Why would they not have turned him in? Because what the parents are saying, Scott, what the parents are saying is had they turned him in 2023, it would have saved several of the victims' that were victimized between 2023 and 2025.
But I agree with your point. You don't wake up at the age of 53, 52 and decide, you know what, I'm going to start messing around with kids.
I'm naming assistant principals Alyssa O'Neill, Kelsey Stimatazzi. Is that how you read that, Dan? S-T-I-M-A-T-Z-E, along with Amy Sloan, the executive director of human resources, are each charged with multiple counts of failure to report child abuse or neglect as mandatory reporters.
So are we to read that that the parents or the kids came forward?
It was the parents who went to police.
But they obviously had gone to the assistant principals and to the head of HR, right? I mean, isn't that how we're supposed to read that?
A detective, Heather Mowry, wrote that the district first knew of the initial misconduct allegation in October of 2023. Quote, if appropriate reporting would have been taken in October of 2023, yep, it would have prevented 5 additional victims by the teacher, Detective Mowry wrote in an affidavit. And then Channel 41 spoke with one of the parents, Christine, whose daughter is at the center of the most recent case. She remains disheartened by the actions of the school district employees. She questioned whether the employees who were charged with failure to report will return to their roles in the fall. Now, at the time of this story's writing, which was June, those employees remained with the district. Everyone knows.
I seem to remember this story originally coming out over the summer.
But we didn't really know what it was he was accused of doing. And now that we know, why in God's name would 2 assistant principals and the district director of HR let this go? For 2 years, let this go.
Well, if you're looking if you're looking for an answer, there isn't one.
Because if you ask those women, would you put your 8-year-old in his classroom?
The answer is no.
The answer is no.
It has to be no.
Is not reporting it a separate crime?
Yes.
Yes.
So
you are a mandatory reporter.
Where are the charges?
Physician, teachers.
Are these administrators still with the district?
Clergy.
Yes.
Yes, Sam.
That's what I'm saying. Where are the charges?
They are all still employed by Leavenworth School District.
Telephone number here is 913-586-7798.
And don't tell me for 1 second they don't know they're not mandatory reporters. If you're a mandatory reporter, you know it.
If you reach that level where you're an assistant principal at a school. But Dana, you shouldn't have to know that you're a mandatory reporter.
Oh, amen.
You know what I'm saying?
You shouldn't have to have a law that tells you you should tell somebody
If a parent comes to you, I'm not a mandatory reporter, but if somebody came to me and said, here's what's happening with my kid, and we think that this person is doing something wrong, illegal, unethical, I don't have to be a mandatory reporter to pick up a phone. I mean, give me a break. 913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dan and Parks.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So, the 3 Leavenworth School District employees face multiple charges for failing to report child abuse, which is required by law for educators and administrators, all right?
Okay.
With respect specifically to the case of 55-year-old Jerome Riscovales, who is going to prison because there are multiple child victims in his classroom, okay? So the string
of— he pleaded guilty.
And he's pleaded. Okay. The string of charges come against assistant principals Alyssa O'Neill and Kelsey Stimatazzi, along with the executive director of HR, Amy Sloan. They are each charged with multiple counts of failure to report child abuse or neglect as mandatory reporters. Their trial is scheduled for February. The defense has filed a motion for dismissal. Their I'm going to tell you that again.
On what grounds?
I have no idea. Their trial is scheduled for February. And parents are saying, okay, at least there's going to be some accountability here because we know that other children were harmed because he remained in that classroom.
And an alleged failure to react.
Correct.
And they still work at the district despite facing charges of the like.
They are still employed.
Well, but now in fairness, whoa.
What?
In fairness,
I agree. What?
How can you fire someone without
he's pleaded guilty.
He has. They have not.
You don't think there's a paper trail when someone comes and the head of HR is involved in allegations of sexual abuse? You don't think there's some paper trail there that listen, we're here. They called him Mr. R, by the way.
Right.
We're hearing that there's an issue with Mr. R in 2023.
Would you write that down?
Scott, I don't know how that works. I wouldn't have to be told to be a mandatory reporter by law.
I understand, but if I'm not going to mandatorily report, I'm not writing down that I've heard about Mr. R and some indiscretions, child abuse, whatever you want to call it. I'm not writing that down.
While court records don't explicitly state the district employees failed to report his alleged abuse, let's call it what it is, his abuse, he is listed as a witness in all three of the women's cases. So the hearing's going to go something like this. Perv McPerv, raise your right hand. Do you swear to tell the... Yes, yes, I swear to tell the truth.
Were you drawn into their office?
When did they know when they called you in? Well, here's where they called me in. Well, what did they say to you?
Well, I have no doubt that come February, they're probably going to be looking for a new line of work. I don't understand this idea of being... You have to be told that you're a mandatory reporter. I find that just almost unconscionable.
All three of us here know that they are mandatory reporters and
educators.
I bet if you were to stop and ask 100 people on the street, at least 60 of them would know.
Yeah. Well, if you are a mandatory reporter, you do know that, Sam, because you have to go through
training.
And
but sure. If their argument is they didn't know, but lay people, and not to hold teachers to some nobility or something, but
the
random
HR certainly would know.
Clearly. And if she doesn't, she has no business in human resources.
And then that begs the next question, you know, and this is where we need Fleener or somebody to petition the states, and I mean plural states. Where was he teaching before he was in Leavenworth? Now, if you want to believe that in 2023, he had never been a teacher his entire life, and then he just randomly showed up in Leavenworth teaching children that he abused, you can hold on to that belief if it makes you feel better for a little bit.
Right. But I know where you're going.
In his 50s, where did he come from and why did he come from that place? Those are the questions now that need to be asked.
And if there was
prior employment.
If there was other incidents in prior levels of employment.
Under what circumstances did he leave those schools?
Did the Leavenworth School District know this when they hired him?
Because that gets to, and we've seen this in other cases, let's not even talk about this case. Let's just pretend for one moment and be completely ridiculous and naive that at age 53, he got his teaching certificate and he had never set foot in a classroom before. Okay. I don't buy that, but let's just say that for argument's sake.
It's not impossible, but highly unlikely.
In other cases, we have seen this where reports are not filed. There are substantiated rumors that there's something going on. And it's a lot easier just to say, we're going to part ways.
Got
to
let you go.
Feel like maybe our district's not a good fit for you or our church is not a good fit for you. You know, fill in the blank of where we've seen this happen. And then,
but
you
why?
Know, the I don't understand, because that goes back to the mandatory reporting, Scott. You know, who knew what and when did they know?
I mean, how soulless do you have to be that you've heard rumors going around that you know, teacher X or teacher Y is messing around with kids.
Elementary school age kids.
Grooming them with Pokemon cards, whatever. I mean, how devoid of a soul do you have to be?
To wash your hands of it.
Right.
We exactly. don't want him in this district. What happens after he leaves here?
That's not our problem.
I mean, my God, I go back to ask these three women, would you want your 8-year-old in his classroom?
No.
And of course they would look you right in the eye and they would say no. Yet here we are having this conversation again.
When I was a youth soccer coach.
God, you'd be furious if you were one of these parents.
Well, of course you would. And you're probably lining up to sue the district. When I was a youth soccer coach, I never, ever once heard any kid tell me, you know, here's what's going on at home or, you know, here's what's going on at school. But if, God forbid.
If a parent came to you.
If one of the kids had come to me.
Yeah.
And said, coach, here's what's going on at home. Or here's what I'm experiencing at school. I don't know, quite honestly, if I'm, as a youth soccer coach, if I was a mandatory reporter or not, I wouldn't have to know.
No.
You know, if I had a kid come to me and say, here's what's going on. And, you know, it's with mom or dad or a teacher or somebody at church or a scout leader or whatever. I would immediately report that.
You know who else I'm mad for? Like, I'm so mad about so many things with this story. I'm angry for all of the other employees who do the right thing.
Which is 99.99%.
All of them, except, you know, the three who are charged.
Right.
Scott, do you know how hard it is to get young men to go through college and get their degree in elementary education?
Yeah.
We had at our grade school when my kids were growing up, one male teacher.
So did we.
In elementary school.
And he was the PE teacher.
And my God, the parents fought to get there, especially little boys in that class. Mm-hmm. Everyone wanted that teacher.
Yeah.
To the point that the school said, stop asking, we're doing a random draw. Because it's so hard to find men in elementary ed. The numbers get a little bit better, not great.
In middle school,
and certainly in high school.
Definitely goes up in high school, yes.
But in elementary school, and I feel so bad for the hardworking men who are listening in elementary classrooms.
Yeah.
So, who would be the first to report something like this?
And don't think that this goes unnoticed by the parents. I remember when my kids, they went to Riverview Elementary School in Shawnee, and there was not a single male teacher in the building except the PE guy, teacher was a guy. He ended up leaving and got a job over at Shawnee Mission North, right? The replacement was a woman. They had not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, but an all-female staff.
But there was an all-female teacher staff for my kids never had a male teacher until they got to middle school, ever. 913-586-7798. 586-7798. Sam Stevie the Third. She is Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks. Hey, don't forget to check out the Dana Parks podcast. Sam does a great job of getting every hour up onto the podcast right after that hour ends. You can find the Dana Parks podcast at kmbz.com. So apparently Prince Harry has gone back to the UK. A lot of questions hovering over his visit. Will he meet with his father, who he is somewhat estranged from? They have only spoken once since King Charles announced that he was suffering from cancer. And will he meet with his brother, Prince William, who... To put it mildly, their relationship is incredibly strained. They, by the way, the brothers have zero direct contact with each other. None.
It's so sad. Princess Diana would be so sad.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like your ADD word of the day?
Oh, I would like my ADD word of the day. Yes, sir.
You're going to think it's one definition, but it's not. Social media has changed the definition of this term. It's spelled differently. This term dates back to the 18th century. Repost.
Repost.
Riposte. Could we spell it, please?
R-I-P-O-S-T-E.
Riposte.
Riposte.
You shall be remanded back to your riposte where you...
Come hither?
From whence came from...
You took post and added R-I in front of it?
Yes.
No. Different words, different meaning.
And repose is when you're dead and everyone comes by to look at your dead body.
Can you use it in a sentence, please?
Quote, I'd have made lamb chops had I known you're a vegetarian. That doesn't make any sense.
End that makes quote. Absolutely no sense.
Chris reposted.
Reposted. Is it surmised?
No.
Is it to know in advance?
No.
I got nothing.
You guys suck at this.
You suck at picking out words.
Exactly.
The whole point is that you're not supposed to know them.
Well, then we're supposed to suck at it.
Riposte. A quick, clever reply to an insult or criticism. Or a secondary term, a quick return thrust following a parry. Don't really know what that one is.
Read the definition one more time.
A quick and clever reply to an insult or criticism.
Oh, it's a retort.
It's wit.
Riposte.
Okay.
Oh, here comes Dan.
Oh, here we go. Did you know the definition, Dan?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Of course I did.
And the secondary definition, which is from the sport of fencing.
That would be the quick return thrust following a parry.
Excuse me?
The block, and then you go in.
The quick return thrust?
Yes. It is a quick return thrust, yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Block.
We're talking about fencing, right?
We are.
Yes.
Okay.
They thrust, you block, you return thrust.
You thrust back.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Riposte.
Riposte.
Sounds like Saturday.
R.I.P.
Really?
I was fencing.
Oh, really?
I was fencing on Saturday.
Really? Building fences, huh?
Have you tried fencing?
No, I have not.
It's a heck of a workout.
Are we talking about the sword sport or selling illegal things?
We're talking about the swords.
Okay.
Yeah. The saber, the epee.
Yeah, they're not really swords.
They're emphasis pointers that you use to kill people with.
If not a sword, what else would it be?
It's not a sword. It's
not a sword.
It's more of a, well, it looks like an emphasis pointer, Sam.
Or a epee. Or epee. A saber.
Thank you. Epee.
Hang on. I'm going to find out what it's
I think
called.
It is called an epee. Actually, now that he said that, that sounds familiar. Pickleball starts back up tonight, guys, by the way.
Ooh.
Cannot wait for that.
Oh, and you can get out there and you can you know, work on your riposte.
Riposte. Ha! Do you really do that in fencing?
Now, ha! It does say fencing is a combat sport where two opponents use swords to score points by touching a designated target area on the opponent's body, but... it says here, with three main disciplines, foil, epee, and saber.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You can call it whatever you want to. It's all under the larger umbrella of sword.
A sword?
Sword.
Of a sword.
Sword.
Okay. All right.
S-word.
Story here from ABC News. A 36-year-old woman.
Oh, my goodness.
Who was participating in a YouTube survival challenge was rescued after spending nearly 18 hours in the woods, according to...
She sucks at survival challenges.
According to police in Michigan. State police troopers on Saturday responded to the Pigeon River State Forest to assist the Otsego County Sheriff's Office in locating a woman missing from California. The woman, who was participating in a YouTube outdoor survival contest, left the designated base camp to search for water at roughly 5 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday, and when she did not return, the contest hosts initiated their own search efforts, according to the Sheriff's Department. After unsuccessful attempts to locate her, someone called 911 at 5 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, which prompted a coordinated search effort looking through the dense forest. They found her at 10:40 in the morning.
How much are we going to charge her for the rescue?
Now wait a minute. First of all, she's competing in some sort of an event. But do we charge everyone for rescues when they make bad decisions?
We have had this conversation before. Specifically in Phoenix, they have discussed whether we start charging people who think, yeah, I just landed here from Minnesota and I'm going to go
hike that mountain,
climb Camelback without any water.
Arizona is one of the places that will charge
They've
you.
They've talked about it because it happens so frequently.
But if you're just out in the woods, I mean, people get lost in the woods all the time.
You are allowed to hike.
She was not hiking. This is
she went looking for water.
Get lost as some sort of online YouTube challenge that went wrong.
Now, wait a minute. Let me ask you something.
If she was just truly hiking and got lost, I don't think we charge her. She was doing this for clicks. We charge her.
See, I think it's the other way around. I think if you're just hiking and get lost, you're so dumb, you should be charged. She was pushed to the edge here.
Now, let me ask you guys something, though. Like, for example, let's say your house catches on fire. God forbid, okay? And the fire department comes out, and they have to put out the flames, and your house is not a total loss, but it's pretty damaged. It turns out that the reason your house caught on fire is because you left a candle burning and went to the grocery store.
Okay.
You're dumb.
That is true.
You are dumb. You left an open flame in your home while you left your home.
Uh-huh.
Should you be charged by the fire department for all the water they use, the manpower they use?
If you leave your keys in the car and someone jacks your car, should you be charged because you left your keys in the car?
I mean, what do I
should
pay taxes for?
Should insurance deny the claim?
I was just about to say that. Don't we already pay for it?
Mm.
I pay taxes. I have paid taxes to finance the fire department in Shawnee for a very long time.
Never needed it.
I've never had them come to my home.
And thank God for it.
Amen to that.
That rescue division only exists because of tax dollars that were paid.
Shouldn't
to
there be a scale of dumb? That's all I'm asking.
There is. It's called the Dana and Park Show.
No.
The bar is low.
Very low.
We're the alpha and the omega. I just think there are certain things, and I'm going to go do a YouTube challenge, and now I'm in trouble and need your help. Okay, that's fine. On your dime.
But what she's doing...
Can you imagine that someone was like choking or someone was having a heart attack sort of adjacent to where this happened where she went lost and they actually need 911 for a very urgent right now, I've done nothing wrong sort of reason.
Right.
And resources have been diverted from that patient because Ding-a-ling, I want to be a YouTube star, is roaming around like Grizzly Adams and has no business doing it.
But she was looking for water. It wasn't... I mean, the YouTube challenge... is separate.
Did the YouTube challenge say you couldn't take water on a hike?
Dana, I didn't participate. I don't know. I don't know what the rules of the challenge were.
I would think that would be part of the challenge.
Is having to find water.
Acquiring resources, yes.
Right. And then, of course, you drink out of a river and you get a bacterial infection and you die. And
now, if anybody should be charged, it should be the hosts of said YouTube challenge because you were dumb enough to invite a bunch of people without survival skills into the woods to try to win money or clicks.
But to Dana's point, Sam and Dana, who gets to put together the spectrum of dumbness? If I'm not an athlete and yet I decide I'm going to participate in the Kansas City Marathon, okay? I've done no training. I'm overweight. I'm 70 years old. But I'm going to, you know, it was my life's dream to complete a marathon. And I start running in the marathon and I end up having a heart attack because my body's just not used to this sort of rigor. And yes, I just use the word rigor. Should the paramedics, fire department charge me for being dumb? I'm running in a marathon that I have no business in.
And to your point, should then the marathon organizers be charged for allowing you to run with no...
Well,
I don't think anybody should be charged based on our conversation.
I don't think she should be charged for this.
Here's the difference. If you are an athlete and you go, let's say you are a triathlete and you get into trouble with either the biking or the running or the swimming... Mm-hmm. Not a triathlete, shocking. then that's one thing. You have trained for that and things happen,
right. Okay?
Right. The people that went roaming into the woods for this survival challenge are not athletes. They're not, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They were purely doing this for monetary or some sort of online fame gain. And that's where it bothers me. If you are out doing your athletic thing and you get into trouble, That's one thing. Yes, tax dollars pay for that. It's the social media aspect of this thing that ticks me off.
I can tell. So take YouTube out of it, okay? Let's say you're playing, you're on the show Survivor on CBS. I mean, you're on that show to do one of two things, or maybe both.
Yeah.
Win money, win $1 million.
Yes.
Okay. Or get some sort of notoriety or fame.
Sure.
There are plenty of contests that
Amazing
are...
Amazing Race. Same thing.
That are physically demanding. You're literally on there to make money and or to gain fame, right? If something were to happen to you, if you were injured in one of those contests...
Yes.
One would expect that aid would be rendered...
They had entire medical staffs on those shows.
Right, but would you be charged for that?
I would guess not.
So I think where you're a little hung up, forgive me for using that term, is the social media aspect of it.
Absolutely it is, because CBS has very deep pockets to pay for things like, you know, medical doctors.
But so does YouTube.
Medical doctors on site.
Yeah.
But YouTube is not paying for the rescue crew to go in and save this woman. Tax dollars are.
913-586-7798, 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So our good friend Michael Mackey has written a book. It's called You Have 4 Minutes. It comes out tomorrow. We've already pre-ordered.
Yes.
And Mr. Mackey will be by in just a few short minutes to have Dana and me read the chapter in the book called Radio Gaga, which is about us. It's not very long. I think it's like 2 or 3 pages. I have not read it. This will be a first reading as we do it live on the air right after 5 o'clock. By the way, you can pre-order at Amazon.com. His book does come out tomorrow. Brian in Kansas City. Brian, good afternoon. Hello.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
So I'm assuming you guys are talking about this woman getting charged financially speaking. I don't believe that she should be charged for the actual search and rescue, because that's where the tax dollars go.
Yep.
Where she is going to be charged, no matter whether I think it should be or not, is for any medical services rendered, i.e. the ambulance ride, anything that happens inside that ambulance, anything that happens in the hospital. So she is going to be charged. But I think when somebody should be charged for search and rescue is when they're doing it to, like, I mean, it's happened a couple times recently where people have faked their own disappearances or faked their own deaths, and been a huge manhunt for those people, or search for those people, and then they're found healthy and nothing's wrong. That's when they should be charged, both financially and legally.
Well there was a situation, you'll recall this, Brian, the guy in Michigan or Wisconsin, Minnesota, wherever it was, somewhere.
Kayak guy.
And he ended up he ended up leaving his kayak on the lake as he flew to Eastern Europe to hook up with some lady he had met online.
Yeah, then he needs to be charged. I think he was charged both legally and financially for the search and rescue. But if you're legitimately lost because of whatever reason, whether you're stupid and got into the woods you shouldn't have been or whatever, but if you're legitimately in need of search and rescue, then I don't think it should be you're charged with it, because that's what tax dollars go to.
But Brian, we talked about this with Kayak Guy. He didn't leave a note saying, goodbye, cruel world. I am going off kayak drowning. He just didn't come home. Like, it's to me.
I don't think he should have been charged.
To me, if you actually fake your death, yes, you should be charged.
But they went and searched.
He just left.
But he didn't ask them to.
Scott has always said, like, he didn't ask them to go searching for him. But I think any ding-a-ling would understand that if you don't come home and you leave a capsized kayak behind, people are going to look.
But he,
that's where.
Yeah, go ahead, Brian.
That's
please.
Where the that's where the problem lies. He knew, like you said, any dingling's going to know that if you leave a capsized kayak, that they're going to go searching for you. Don't have to ask them for to do that. But his intent was to go to Europe. Otherwise, he wouldn't have done so. That intent right there is what I think he should be charged with,
yeah,
or charged for. If he had just, you know what, I accidentally left my kayak sitting on the side of the the bank, and now I'm going to go leave. That's a little bit different. But he purposely left the kayak and purposely went to Europe. That's the problem I have.
All right, man. Hey, Paula in Kansas City, you get the last word. Hello, Paula.
Hey, how are you guys?
We're doing well. Go ahead.
Well, I was just curious, did anything in the article say that she was not a survivalist? And is there anything that says that she didn't find? Well, just because somebody gets lost, you can probably get lost, Dana, going home, as I've understood.
I would. Several of your... I would, but Paula, you know what I don't call myself? A survivalist.
Well, I'm saying, is there anything in the article that says she was a survivalist?
No, and I only stop you there because we're up against the top of the hour. And the news break, there is no indication she is a survivalist.
She needs a new hobby.
All right, Michael Mackey will be joining us in just a moment as we read the chapter from his upcoming book. It comes out tomorrow. The chapter is called Radio Gaga. And we will determine how much of it is factual and how much is not. In just a moment here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.